Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. Hallelujah. We're going to honor those in memory, those that have fallen in battle, in foreign wars. And I went to look to see what kind of wars we've had in America. And there's a bunch of them. How many know the war? America has seen some war. Is that right? Yeah, and went to the American Revolution, 1775 to 1783. The War of 1812 was from 1812 to 1815. The Civil War was from 1861 to 1865. A lot of American men lost. I mean, so the Spanish-American War was from 1898 to 1902. World War I was 1917 to 1918. World War II was 1940 to 1945, and I kind of question that because I know that Pearl Harbor was attacked in December 7, 1941, correct? But there was an engagement. We were helping the British. The American soldiers were flying in, and so they started that in 1940. The Korean War started in 1950 to 1953. Vietnam War, 1964 to 1975. Now, that's a long war, amen. The Gulf War, 1990 to 1991. And then there's been this war on terror. that's been ongoing, amen? And we've lost a lot of young men, young ladies, wouldn't you say? So we're just going to take a minute. Would you just stand right back up again? We're going to pray. And we're going to ask God just that He would touch the families of those that have lost, that are still in, you know, they're still alive, and but have lost loved ones in any wars. Father, we just come before You, Father. And Father, we know that men and women have given a lot, Father God, so that we can even be here today just to be talking to You, Lord, in public, and Father, because they have paid for our freedom. And Lord, we do honor them this morning. We do remember, Father God, what they've done for us, Lord. So Lord, their families, each and every one, no matter where they're at, no matter what they're doing, God. Father, we're asking You, Lord, that You, by Your Spirit, Lord, would go and touch families. Touch them. Touch them, Father God. Some way, somehow, Lord, let them feel Your love for the sacrifice that they've given by their loved ones dying in a war that we might be free. Father, we thank You for it. We praise You for it, that You will. We have asked You this morning, so we know that You're going to touch. You're going to minister. God, we thank You for it, Lord. You are a great God. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was up late last night, and I was telling our leadership team this morning that my message is called Text Sent. That's all I could think of. 2 o'clock in the morning. I say, hey, that's good enough now. Now I come in this morning, I go, oh man, I'm not sure. I should have thought a little bit more on that last night. But text sent. How many of you know that God sent His Son into the world? Is that right? The Word of God. Amen. He sent a message to us by His Son. Is that right? That God says, hey, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Amen. But have everlasting life. And then it says, but God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Is that correct? But that the world through Him might be saved. That's awesome. God sent His Son. Hallelujah. So every time you look, every time you pick up your cell phone, you're going to, how many of you are texters? Anybody, any texters in here? Let me hold on. Hold your hands up a minute. I want to count how many are lying. There's a bunch of text people. Hey, I'm just going to say, just every time you send a message and you have to send, you hit that little sent button or sent arrow, whatever it is, just remember that God sent his son, okay? Just remember that. And so I'm going to start with that. If you will, turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus has just come out of the wilderness, and he's just been fighting. He got through the 40 days and 40 nights, and he's been fighting the devil. And he is fired up. And you know where he goes? He goes home. He goes to Nazareth, his city. And, you know, and when I was reading this, I said, man, Lord, you're kind of a troublemaker, man. How many know that? How many know that Jesus is a little troublemaker? You know what? Jesus is interesting in what's going on in our lives. And sometimes, folks, listen, sometimes you might start having some problems, a little trouble here, a little trouble there. Know that God is saying, hey, man, look, I might be a troublemaker in your life. Is that okay? So that you might turn and say, hey, God, will you help me here? I said, yeah, I'll help you. Know that. Sometimes God might be a troublemaker. Praise God. But here he is, starting at verse 16. It says, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. It's a good thing. Jesus is the guy that goes to the church. Amen? And there was delivered to him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say with them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This is Jesus, hometown guy. And he's in the synagogue of his hometown. And he tells them, through the scripture he just read, about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel, heal the sick. And he tells them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Wait a minute. That's Joseph's son. Who does he think he is? How many know that? That's what was going through their mind. Who does he think he is? Today the scripture's fulfilled in our ears. What is he talking? Is he talking about himself? Can't be. That's Joseph's son. Oh, man. And he said to them, you will surely say to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country, in thy country. And he said, verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. I'm sure he was laying this out for them very nicely. Let me just say this to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the time of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but none of them was Elias sent, except Sephrata, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Jesus was basically telling them that when their times were hard and times were they were having problems, all these lepers that were in Israel, Jewish brothers and sisters, there wasn't anybody sent to them, but there was somebody sent to a Syrian. And a Syrian got healed by God. But all these lepers that were in Jerusalem, they didn't get healed. And then when the times were really hard, there was a lady, there was a widow in Sidon, a country, a Gentile country. And the prophet went to her house. So these people are getting, I go, wait a minute, what's he saying? What is he saying? I'm telling you, Jesus was stirring up some trouble. He was. Verse 28 says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Jesus went in there to stir up some trouble, didn't he? It seems weird, but I really feel, because God, he was just starting out his ministry. His first place he's going to go to was to his hometown. And he goes, hey man, this is who I am. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is what he said. And the people just looked at him, hey, that's Joseph's son. How can this be? He's wrong. They already judged him, saying, no, he's wrong. And so he gave him a little story about how God would minister to those that had a heart that were looking for God. And that's what they got stung with. Man, they got stung with that story because he was telling them, if you're looking for God, you're going to find him. But if you're not looking for God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get stung and you're going to reject what I'm telling you. Woo, and they did, didn't they? They took him up to the brow of the hill. They're going to boot him off this hill. But then again, he's the Son of God, and he came for a purpose. Do you think they would have been able to knock him over that hill? I don't think so. I think all he had to do was just kind of look at him, and he walked right on by him. Looking at him, walked right on out. Left town. Woo, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is what he said, because he has sent me to preach the gospel. Jesus was sent, wasn't he? He was a sent. He was sent by his Father. And you know, you're going to find in the book of John, he says it a bunch of times. I didn't count them all. I should have probably. But he said, my Father has sent me. My Father has sent me. I do the will of my Father. He has sent me to do these things. And that's what's cool about him. He did what he was sent to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Could we go to John chapter 9? Glory to God. John chapter 9. Jesus was in the temple in John chapter 8, and they had brought to him a woman that was caught in adultery, and they wanted to stone her. And he wrote with his finger on the ground. And then as he wrote, he said, you that are without sin, you throw the first stone. And so he continued to write. And I do believe myself, I believe he was writing the Ten Commandments. Because he said, he stooped down with his finger, he wrote. I think he might have been reminding them just a little bit. Remember how God wrote with his finger the Ten Commandments up on the mountain when he was given unto Moses? And as he wrote, and they said, by one, they began to drop their rocks. Drop your rock and get out of. They left. And so so he had got through with that. He had said something to him. He says, he told them that he was the light of the world. And they got after him. They said, hey, wait a minute. You're bearing testimony on yourself. And then Jesus tried to explain to them some things. By the time it got to the end of chapter 8, this is the way chapter 8 ends. Then said the Jews to him, you are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. And Abraham, and Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus was a troublemaker, wasn't he? No, you won't, man. When it comes to sin and to things, God's going to go after it because he cares about you. Is that right? Is that okay? Just so that you know that. So we're coming to John chapter 9. Jesus has just left the temple area and he's walking. And we start at verse 1 and it says, Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, Siloam was a pool that was in the southern part of the temple area. It was the city of David was kind of easterly, southerly in the temple area. So when Jesus told this man to go to the pool of Siloam, that pool was a little south of the city of David. When Jesus told him to go, he might have had to go maybe 1,000 yards to get to that pool. So there was a little time involved. What was wrong with this guy? He couldn't see. So he'd probably take a little longer than you and I would take to get there. Isn't that right? It's because he just couldn't. Oh, but then again, he might know all the areas how to walk because he's been in that area for so long that he knows, okay, I'll go to the pool of Siloam. I know where it's at. So he did what Jesus told him to do. What did Jesus do to him? Created a little puddle, didn't he? Oh, yes. Jesus, does anybody ever had somebody make clay and put it on your eyes or anything? No? It's kind of weird, huh? I think Jesus is pretty cool. He does things like nobody else does. Amen? Put some clay on him, put some mud on his eyes, and he told him, go and wash. Go wash yourself. The neighbors there, he said, he went his way, therefore, washed, and came seeing, or verse 7. Verse 8 says, the neighbors, therefore, when they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. I kind of like this, just the way, you know, the way people are. It just really gives you a nice little visual of how people are. Well, it looks like him. I think it's him. Hey, it's me. Come on, man. It's me. I'm the blind guy. Okay. And so he says, yeah, okay. Therefore, they said to him, How were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. And said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. The blind guy says it. He made clay and anointed my eyes. He put an anointing on me. Woo, man. He placed an anointing on my eyes. Man. And he told me, Go to Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received my sight. Praise God. Who knows what was wrong with his eyes? Jesus knew. Who knows? I think it was Louis Giglio in one of his was on the planets, and he was talking about how an infant's eye is created a certain time in the pregnancy. He said that the eyes are just there's no eyelids, but at a certain time in the pregnancy, it's almost like some kind of a knife goes in and cuts the eyelids. It's kind of cool, huh? And he says, and then the back of the eye, where the optic nerve has to go to the mind, has to go to the brain. There is something in the genetics that causes the nerve endings coming from the brain to connect with the eyes, and it could be thousands of connections that need to be made at the back of that eye, just so that we can see. You know how sensitive your eyes are? They're just sensitive. They're just an incredible instrument that God has created for us, so that we could see the things that we see. And I'm thinking, well, maybe his optic nerve wasn't connected. And at that moment when he washed, all those nerve endings found their way to each and every one, and the light come on. Hallelujah. Verse 12, they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know. Probably took him away in time to get over and time to get back." He's like, "I don't know where he's at now." And they brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime blind. They took him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Everybody say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Here's Jesus doing something again on the Sabbath day. Is that right? Do you think Jesus liked doing that? Man, I think he liked it. I think he enjoyed, okay, I'm going to do this on the Sabbath day for these guys. Just to see how they react. And boy, they're going to react, aren't they? Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed and do see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day." I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty weak. Isn't that right? A notable miracle has just happened, and they're saying, "Well, he doesn't keep the Sabbath." I love it. Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" Now, there's a smart person right there. Isn't that right? I like that. How can this guy that's a sinner, like you say, how can he do such a miracle as this? And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him that has opened your eyes?" And he said, "He's a prophet." I'm sure they like that very much. I mean, I'm sure that when he told them, "Oh, he's a prophet. He can't even keep the Sabbath day." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Religious folk will tear you up. They will tear you up. They really will. It's important that you keep your heart and your mind on focus on God. Is that right? And I like this beggar. He'd been in the temple a lot. He'd been around the temple a lot. I know he didn't see a lot, but he probably heard a lot. And I bet he could tell a Pharisee from just somebody that just was there to worship God. I bet he knew. Because this guy looks to me like he's pretty bright, even though he hasn't been able to see for a while. And he said to them, "He's a prophet." Then the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Any excuse, really? Any excuse. They didn't believe that he'd been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind?" These guys are smart. They're wily, aren't they? "Is this your son? You say he was born blind, but apparently not. Is that right? How then does he now see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." Amen. Hey, ask him. How many times have they asked him so far? Probably about 3 times now. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." They are getting ready to set them. They are setting themselves up because this man becomes a preacher. Is that right? this man begins, okay, I'm going to lay this. I'm going to put an end to this here real quick because you guys just don't seem to be getting what I'm telling you. I told you, I think he's a prophet. I think that because he did a miracle on me, I don't think that he could be a sinner. I just don't think that. This man is a sinner, they said. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I once was blind. Remember that? But now I see. How you guys remember being blind? How many of you remember not being able to tell what was right and wrong in the Word of God? How many of you remember not being able to read the Word of God without somebody coming along trying to help you out? And then it still seems so confusing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You guys remember that? Sing it with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Well, I was blind, but now I see. Boy, I felt good. Let's do it one more time. Sing loud, folks. Sing grace, how sweet. That saved a wretch like me. Yes, Lord. I once was lost. Yes, Lord. But now I see. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. That's what this blind, ex-blind man had said. He goes, hey, I was blind, but now I see. And they said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he your eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said to them, now here is a marvelous thing. I love this guy, man. I love him. Oh, this is a marvelous thing. I mean, this is amazing to me that you know not from whence he is, and yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he hears. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, you were altogether born in sins. Oh, now they're turning it on him now. Isn't it? When you run out of answers, you know what? Just start fighting whoever and whatever. Come on, man. That's what these guys are doing. They ran out of answers, so now they're attacking him. You were altogether born in sins. And do you now teach us? And they cast him out. Poor guy. Hey, I'm just sitting there. Jesus asked me to put some stuff and said, go washed in the pool of Siloam, and now I'm kicked out of the because I got healed. Because the Pharisees did not, the religious folk did not like what Jesus was doing. Is it that same way today? It's that same way today. They will, folks, there are people out there, and they're nice folks, but they will go to talk you out of what God has done for you. They will go to talk you out of what God has placed in your heart. And they'll say, oh, no, sweetie. Oh, no, no. Oh, you're not trusting God. Have you ever had that? Somebody look at you. Oh, you're not trusting God, are you? Come on, man. That's not real. That's not reality today. I'm going to tell you, it is reality today to trust God. It is reality today to put your faith in God. It is reality today because God is saying, look, place your trust in me. I will take you where you need to go. He's gonna do everything that he needs, that you need. He will do it for you if you'll put your trust in him and only him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And they thrust him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Isn't that nice? Jesus didn't just heal him and leave him. I think Jesus was hanging around because I think Jesus knew what was going to happen. He picked the right guy, wouldn't you say? I love it. Jesus said, this man was born this way for the glory of God. His parents didn't sin. He didn't sin. It happened. He was born this way for the glory of God. That's what he told his disciples. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that's talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I'm looking forward to talking to this gentleman and telling him, hey, man, way to go, amigo. Way to go. Way to go after those that are plain religious but have no idea what God is doing. Way to go, amigo. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love that story. Isn't that a nice story? Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to verses 4 and 5 where it says, Jesus said this, I must work the works of him that sent me. And verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said in the first scripture that he said, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and my Father has sent me. And he said to heal to the brokenhearted, and to give sight to those that are blind. And that's what he's doing, amen? Anybody following around would say, hey man, he said that, and look, it's happening. What he said, it's happening. What he said was going to happen, it's really happening. People are receiving their sight. Colossians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1. Is it up there? I'm a little slow this morning. I'm going to start at verse 25 here. Sorry, guys, but it says this. Paul is talking, he says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul says that I was given, I'm in a dispensation when God has given me a something to do. Verse 26 says, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. How many of you are saints in here? Okay, this mystery, this thing that has been hidden from ages is now being made manifest. It's being made known. It's being cleared and made clear to those that are saints. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a mystery. Is that right? How many of you know that Jesus dwells in you? We used to sing it when you remember, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Or Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus lives in me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so, right? He lives in you. And it's a kind of a mystery because sometimes it's even a mystery to us because we don't realize just how much and how powerful we are. Do you know that you're a powerful person in the earth today? Do you know that? Because of who it is that lives within you. But there's the scriptures here in Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is saying, he said, look, this is a mystery. A lot of people kind of say, okay, I get it. Yeah, Jesus lives in me. But do you get it? Do you really get who it is that's dwelling inside of you? And that's what I'm asking you this morning. Do you get? Because what Jesus said at the beginning before he healed that blind man, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the what? The light of the world. And he's dwelling in you. Okay? So check this out. In Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, let's say that I'm going to change the Laodicea, but I'm going to change it to Sahuarita, Green Valley, Tucson, Arizona, whatever you want to put, whatever we call it. We're going to change it to that rather than Laodicea. And he just says, For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, is what the apostle says. Man, I'm battling so that you might know this. So you're going to get this, he says. I would that you would know what great conflict I have for you and for them that are in Tucson, Green Valley, Sahuarita, Rancho, Vail, Elephant Head. Yeah. Where else? Rio Rico, thank you very much. Nogales. Let's just say Arizona. Let's just say the United States. Let's say even down into Mexico. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just say all over the U.S., into every island. Let's just say all the way around the world. How's that sound? Is that okay? Okay, I think we got everything covered, right? Is that cool? Hallelujah. He says, I would that you had what great conflict I have for you and for them that are all around the world and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Verse 2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Amen? Yeah, okay. You don't like that? Okay. Should we take that out? Being knit together in love. Amen? Amen. That's a little better. It says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. How many of you know that understanding what God is saying is there's a richness in it? Do you know that? The full assurance. God wants us to be full of assurance of understanding what he's saying to us, okay? And here's what he says. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I was going to take a look at that for a second. He says, to the acknowledgement. God wants you to acknowledge what he's done for you. He wants you to acknowledge that it's him that is dwelling in you. He wants you to acknowledge that you know, in him are all the treasures of what's this? Wisdom and knowledge. It's in you. It's already there. It just needs to be accessed by you. It's already resting in there. Everything you need to know is there. Every right decision is already there. It's already resting in you. And you need to acknowledge that because we'll sit and we'll say, I just don't know what to do. I got no idea. I don't know what I'm supposed to be going. I don't know who I'm supposed to be talking to. We'll say that, but the wisdom and the understanding, it's already in you. It's already there. He's not going to die on the cross again to make sure that you get it. Paul is saying that they might acknowledge that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you realize, if you want to, go make a little spittle. No, I didn't say that right, did I? Go make a little mud out of some spit and go find somebody that needs some. I got a feeling somebody's going to be anointing my eye after this. Praise God. I tell you what, because it's already in you. It's there. And it's the most exciting thing you're going to find that God will do for you. Because when you begin to move in these things, you're going to find that he is saying, my, I've been waiting for you all the time, brother. I've been waiting for you all the time just to walk out and start moving in it. And I will back you up. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:6, you don't have to go there. Galatians 4:6 says that he has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart. He's already there. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You are. That's who you are today. You are already that person. Hallelujah. John chapter 17, verses 21 through 23. Oh, man. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I want you to notice how he's speaking to the Father. He has. How do you know has is a, what kind of tense? Past tense word. He's already given it to you. It's already there. Hallelujah. That they might be one. And he says, verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world, listen, do we have a cause? We have a cause. Why are we here? Because what? Because I like to come to church on Sunday. No, because, you know, because I like the chairs. They're kind of nice, you know. Hey, because it's an old bowling alley, and I like to see what's going on over there, man. Oh, why do you come to church? Well, because. Because what? Because. Well, why? Do you have a cause? You do have a cause. You have a cause to expose the God of Israel in the earth. You have a cause to show that God is good and he's worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. That's your cause right there. And that's what Jesus goes, that all the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me, is what God is saying. Come on. It's already there. It's already in you. Huh. Hallelujah. John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said this. Jesus shook up the disciples when he walked into the room after his resurrection. And this is what Jesus said. Verse 21, it says, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The same way the Father has sent Jesus, the same way that the Father sent Jesus into the world, he's sending us. That's what he says. If you will, the backing of heaven is upon you. It's the same way as it was when Jesus came. Everything that he did by speaking to his Father, and his Father did. It's upon you. I want to go back to Isaiah 61. I love this passage. You know, find it familiar. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Does that sound like something we read earlier? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus was quoting. This was the passage that Jesus was quoting when he read it that morning. Verse 2 says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3 says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's you, folks. You are the trees of the Lord, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I want you to look at that verse, that word appoint. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion. You know what that word means? That word means to assign. Do you know that God's got something for you to do? There are assignments that he has for you. To assign unto them that mourn, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. This is what God has for you. But that, he's not done yet here, man. Verse 4, he says, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. I'm going to tell you, folks, our city has suffered some desolate time, some waste time. And I want our city to quit wasting time. How many of you guys say that? This city needs to quit wasting time. Huh. And the word of God says here, these trees of righteousness, who you are, we're going to rebuild this thing. We're going to repair this thing. It's going to be a city that's set on high that cannot be hid. There is an assignment to those. Hallelujah. The desolations of many generations. How many know there's people out there that don't know Jesus? They've gotten, their generation has just gone downhill and downhill. Can I tell you, without Jesus, a generation is going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. Do you know that? Do you realize that? That's how it works. You don't have God, you don't have that generation, is going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get better because it's the Lord that restores. And that's our job. I'm going to jump down to verse 6, and it says this. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. All of you. Every one of you. Every one of you. What does a priest do? What does a priest do? He generally offers sacrifices, offers prayer. Hallelujah. For those around him. As a priest, that's a priestly calling. You've got a friend that has a horrible need. You go to God for him. You say, Lord, would you just help my friend? Would you touch my friend? Lord, would you touch my family? They're doing good. Actually, I don't know what they're doing. Would you touch my family, God? And you're a priest. You'll be called the priest of the Lord. And then he says this other one. It says, and men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's other places in the Word of God where it says that the world will gather in all their treasures only to turn it over to the righteous. That's what the Word of God says. God's going to do it. But folks, we got to get connected to our assignment. Get connected to your assignment. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Young men, young ladies, you have an assignment from God. And the quicker you go after it, The more you can step into it and begin to move in it, and God will anoint that assignment before you know it. You know, who knows what God's going to do. But our city is going to change. Amen? our city will change. Because it's not us, folks. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And our city is going to shine. It's going to shine. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready for that? How many of you are ready for that? How many of you are ready to be sent? How many of you are just ready to be sent? Hey, it could be, hey, I'm going to send you over to that person over there. Just pray for him. I won't be sent. Might be going down to that rest home down there and pray for that guy that's sitting out front. Just pray for him. You go down there, pray for him. Sent. You were sent. How many are ready to be sent? I'm ready. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus said, Father, he told the disciples, he said, just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Hallelujah. If you're ready to be sent, if you're ready to be sent, this is a nice word, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. If you're ready to be sent, get ready. Heavenly Father, we come for you this morning, Lord. We come before you. And Lord, we know that there are assignments that are designated just to us personally. So Father, would you begin to speak those assignments to your people? In this house, Father, I'm asking for a clear course. Just as you had given Jesus. Jesus told us, Father, that just as you sent him, he is sending us. Just as you spoke to him his day, you will speak to us our day. So Holy Spirit, send us. Give us the assignment that you have for us, Father. Lord, let us not waste any more time. Let us not pass by any more folks because we're not ready. But Lord, I just pray that the readiness of your Spirit would begin to rise up in your people, because your Spirit is ready. It's already in them, Father. You told us in your word this morning that that readiness is already there. Everything that's needed is already there. You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've already given it to us so far. It's already in there. So Lord, let that preparation, Lord, let that begin to rise up in the boldness and the strength and, Father God, the understanding that you are sending. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, fill your people with that understanding, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, go out and do what God has for you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Allow him to lead you. Allow him to guide you. You're going to find it's the best walk you'll ever do. There's people around you in your jobs. There's people around you where where you're putting gas. There's people where you're buying your groceries. There's people around you. Look around and just say, just keep it in your mind. Say, Lord, is there someone you want me to say something? Is there someone that I have an assignment for this day in Jesus' name? Okay? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hey, go out and win the lost. Amen? Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.